Good afternoon, third service. How are y'all today? Come on, y'all doing good? Well, we're excited about today's message. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are a lot of white marks on the front of our stage. At the end of the service, we're going to have a moment where we enter into another song of worship and praise, and I'm going to invite everyone to come down to the front, and there'll be a white marker, and we're going to write names of people that we're praying for, and we're wanting to reach for the kingdom of God. Amen. So be thinking about that, because last week we asked the question, who in your life do you know right now that needs to be reached? And we're talking about our mission statement, and our mission statement is to reach people, to experience life in Jesus. Come on, say his name, Jesus, all right? Our mission statement as a church, why we exist, is to reach people to experience life in Jesus. Come on, say his name again. I mean, doesn't that just make you feel good right there, saying the name of Jesus? It's just enough said. We talked about reaching. Today we're going to talk about people. So who in your life right now needs to be reached so they can experience life in Jesus? Now, I want you to turn with me to two passages of Scripture as we jump into this afternoon. Ezekiel chapter 22. And Mark chapter 2, you can turn there in your Bible or go to the Key Point Church app, which you can follow along my notes, my message notes, and take your own notes. So Ezekiel chapter 22 and Mark chapter 2. Today we're talking about people. Now in Ezekiel chapter 22, Israel had turned their back on God. They weren't serving God. They were running after their own gods and so forth. And for the record, whenever you turn your back on God and act as if you're your own God and you do whatever you want, it doesn't bode well for you, okay? And that was the case for the people of God. And in any city in the Old Testament, they would build these walls around it, a wall to protect them on the inside and so forth. And because they had turned their back on God, the enemy began to attack the city and begin to knock the walls down. And now Israel, the people of God, are vulnerable to these attacks. They're vulnerable to being defeated. And this is what God said in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. He said, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall, who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found no one. Because God is good, because God is merciful, he looked for someone to stand in the breach. He was looking for someone who would stand in the gap of the wall on behalf of someone else and bring protection to them and bring life to them, but he found no one, not one person. Now, before we move on, let me break that phrase down for you. Stand in the gap before me, in the gap on behalf of, in Hebrew. It's amazing. You got to get this principle before we move on. The word stand in the Hebrew, it means to remain. So we're going to stand. He was looking for someone to stand, to remain before me in his presence. So we're going to stand in his presence, and it says in the gap, which means in the breach, the opening where the enemy is coming in. So I'm going to stand, I'm going to remain in God's presence in the breach, in the gap, he says on behalf of, and that means for the benefit of someone else. So what God is looking for here, he's looking for someone who will remain in his presence and stand in this gap, this breach, if you will, on behalf of or for the benefit of people who have a breach in their relationship with God because of sin. That's what he was looking for in Israel. And really, that's what he's looking today from us. And here's why. Write this down. Because God loves people. God loves people. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says he doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone, every person to come to repentance. Now that word perish, it means to spend eternity separated from God. And God doesn't want anyone to live that for their eternity. He doesn't want that. He loves all people. People are his top priority. You understand that, right? We were made in his own image. Black, white, green, red, tall, short, wide, thin. We were made in the image of God. I think we're going to be surprised when we get to heaven and we see God, because he's probably going to just look normal outside of the glory that's going to be on him, because we were made in his own image and we are his prized possession. And there are millions of people, billions of people right now that are separated from him. There is a breach in the wall in their life because of sin, and the enemy is attacking them and just playing havoc in their life. And he's looking for someone. He's looking for someone to stand in the gap for them. Now let's go New Testament. In the New Testament, you can't find the phrase stand in the gap. But there is a concept that is used in the New Testament that is the exact same concept of standing in the gap, and it's the word intercession. Now, this could be a churchy word, all right? Welcome to the intercessory prayer group. You know, people, intercessory, you got to say it like that, you know? And I had one guy ask me, do you want to be on the intercessory prayer team? And I said, no, if it sounds like that, that's creepy, all right? No, I don't want that, you know? Can't you just ask me to come and pray for people? Because that's what interceding is. A New Testament definition of interceding is to appeal to someone on behalf of someone else. I'm going to stand in the gap for someone else. I'm going to appeal to someone on behalf of someone else. And that's exactly what Jesus did for you and I, right? Jesus went to God and said, hey, God, listen, let me appeal to you. Let me go to this earth and I'll suffer the cross and I'll die for all humanity and all the humanity to come. I'll die for them. And he appealed to God on my behalf. Thank God Jesus suffered the cross for me and you. Amen? And that's what the scripture says. And now he sits in heaven interceding for you and me, interceding for believers. On my behalf. Amazing. God loves people and he wants everyone to know him. Therefore, he calls us as Christ followers to intercede for the lost. And his plan for reaching people, his plan for reaching people has never changed. And here's his plan. You ready? Here's point number two. God uses people. God uses people. Not perfect people, not people who know a lot of memory verses, not people who know how to articulate the scripture. He uses normal people like you and me. That's his plan. He uses people. He uses godly men and women to stand in the gap in faith for someone who needs to be brought before God. That's what it's about. Never underestimate the power and authority that you have as a Christian. Let me say that again, because that's very powerful that we get this. If you call yourself a Christian, never underestimate the power and authority that you can walk in. We have power over darkness. We have power over sin. We can walk in the same authority that Jesus walked in when he walked on this earth. Do you realize that? The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available for you and me today. Don't ever discount yourself and not understand the power and authority that you can have as a believer. Let me illustrate the New Testament definition or a perfect illustration of someone who intervenes, someone who intercedes. And that's found in Mark chapter 2. Pick up in verse 1. Amazing story. This is what the Bible says. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. Why is that? Because people were tired of just hearing about God and hearing about Jesus and the coming Messiah, and they begin to hear that people begin to experience Jesus in a real way. And everywhere Jesus went, lives were changed. People received salvation. People's lives were totally being changed through the work of Jesus Christ. And they wanted to get in on that, wouldn't you? So word gets out, and so many people came to hear, as the scripture says, Jesus preached the word to them. He didn't give his opinion or someone else's opinion. And if there's ever a message here at Key Point Church that we speak loudly, is the word of God. We don't give opinion around here, and I would encourage you to put your opinion to the side and let the word of God dictate your life for you. Amen? the Word of God. Jesus preached the Word of God here. Because when he preached the Word of God, lives were really changed. Experience was really happening. In verse 3, some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. That has got to be the most risky scripture in the entire New Testament. In verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw these four men's faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So here are these four men. They have a very dear friend who's paralyzed. He's disabled. And because of his disability, he cannot get to Jesus. Physically, he depended upon other people to carry him from place to place. They hear word out on the street, Jesus is coming home. He's going to be right here in this neighborhood. Get to this house. He's going to be preaching the Word of God. Lives are going to be changed. So they thought, you know what? We are going to stand in the gap for a friend. We are going to get him on a mat, and we're going to take him to Jesus. And they carried him all the way to the house where Jesus was speaking, where he was preaching. They get to the house only to find out that it's jam-packed. They can't even get up to the doors. So many people were there hungry for a real experience for God. They can't even get him to Jesus, and that's just sad. Here's a man with so many physical needs. Here's a man with so many spiritual needs. But yet he has so many obstacles in front of him that are keeping him away from the very thing that can change his life. And honestly, for me, praying for people, sometimes I can get derailed when I look at the obstacles in front of people. I think, really, God, you can help this person? I mean, he's got this to get over, and they've got this addiction, and they're so concerned about that, and they've got this problem and this problem. And before I even realize it, I'm acting as if God can't even get through any of that. I know we've personally been there before where we look at all the issues in front of us and think, surely I cannot get to God through all those. But they had faith. I remember several years ago standing in the gap for my brother. My brother experienced God in a real way when he was in middle school. That's why we really focus on our students here. In the sixth and seventh grade, God began to do some amazing things in his life. And he just was so on fire for God. And I mean, just doing so many things as a young person at a school and so forth. And then ninth grade came around, going to high school. Kyle began to run after the things of the world, the little gods of this world, the things that the world says you can do to have fun. And to be honest, he did a very good job at it. He was very good at the things of the world, and he did everything the world offered. And I remember learning how to intercede for people. And I would go to God on behalf of my brother. So I would go to God, and I would say, God, here's my brother. And I don't want to live eternity without my brother. And right now, if he died, if he took some bad drugs today, he would lose his life, and his soul is not right. His spirit is not right. And Lord, I want him to live eternity with me. I don't want him to walk down this road because it does not end well. So I would get a hold to God, and I would remind God, God, remember, your word says that you want none to perish. You want all to come to repentance. And then I would take Kyle and grab him by the shoulders in the spirit and throw him in front of God and say, all right, God, I'm intervening. I'm standing in the gap on behalf of Kyle. Lord, save Kyle. Today when he goes to party, let him get tired of partying. Let him feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit that draws him back to you. Let him get tired of this sin and this life. And it took 7 years of me and several other people standing in the gap and interceding for my brother. And I'm here to tell you, he is saved and so is his entire family. And they are all in church and they love God and they understand the authority and the power that God has given them. Is it because of me? No, it's not. There's times in my life where my faith is not perfect. There's times in my life where I forget scripture. But I'm faithful not to quit. I'm faithful to do whatever it takes to get the person that God has put on my heart in front of Jesus. This morning in the first service, there was a young lady who stumbled into our church when we met at Elzer Tucker Elementary School 12 years ago in Lowell. She was a recovering meth addict. And this morning, today marks the 11th year that she is free of meth. She is now working as a nurse. And this morning she woke up, she forgot to advance her clock. She was very tired. She said, no, I'm not going to go to church today, but the Holy Spirit really encouraged her to get to church. And she was sitting next to her mother. And her mother was the one who would stand in the gap for her when she was out, strung out on her meth. Her mother was the one that was on her knees interceding for her. Is her mother perfect? Absolutely not. But her mother was willing to take God up on his word. And she understood the power and authority that she had as a Christ follower. And because of that, this young lady is now married. She's a nurse. And God is doing so many things in her life. Today, 11 years sober from meth. Amen? All because of one praying mom. Don't ever underestimate the power that you have as a Christ follower. And these four friends, they could have given up and quit. They could have been derailed. But instead, they were the kind of people that God was looking for in Ezekiel chapter 22 that would not quit, that would not get tired, that would go out of their way and stand in the gap and be committed to represent a lost person before God. I bet they looked at the guy and said, buddy, you are way too heavy. You know what? We're not carrying you back home, all right? Jesus is in there. We actually hear Jesus. We may not be able to get to him right now, but we're not carrying you back. You walking home today, all right? Now let's come up with a plan. We not carrying him back, all right? Faithful, faithful. That's the kind of person I want to be. Someone who has faith to stand in the gap for someone else when they can't fight for themselves. So they came up with a clever, really clever plan. Extremely risky, I must add. All right, here's the deal, guys. I got a good plan. There's always a guy in the bunch that comes up with the far-fetched plan, all right? This is what we're going to do. We're going to climb up the stairs because every house had a flat roof. And they used the top of the roof for sunning and so forth, and it was very sturdy. We're going to take him up on the stairs. Then we're going to cut a hole. So go get an axe. You know, you go. I mean, this was a demolition project, all right? This wasn't just, we're just going to, like, with our two little pinky fingers, move some thatch roofing back and just kind of lower him down. Like, no, I mean, this was a demolition project. There was major financial implications to this decision. And then, go get some rope. You got some rope? Yeah, come on, cut it up. We're going to tie the rope on the four corners, and then we're going to lower him down, you know, and they're probably thinking, well, he's weak. He may drop him, you know, and then there's always the logical person of the group. Hold up, guys. This is stupid. This is the dumbest idea I have heard. Really? There's always one guy or one girl in the group that will talk you off that faith ledge and say, no, 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 no. And what you do when you logically try to figure God out is you reduce him down to the size of your brain, all right? Thank God they didn't listen to Mr. Logic. And there's sometimes where we just have to respond to God in faith and respond for others in faith. And they begin to lower this man down to Jesus. Imagine how awkward this handicapped man felt in this blanket. I wonder if they consulted the owner. Probably not. They probably used the youth pastor theory. We won't ask for permission. We'll just ask for forgiveness later. If it fails, you know, if we drop him, then we'll just ask, God, Jesus, please forgive us, you know. Nope. They went on. Had to be noisy, right? Dirt, debris flying everywhere. Had to be rather distracting. I mean, if one little raindrop hits the roof right here, everybody, what happened? Oh, squirrel, everybody, we're just so distracted. Jesus was letting it happen. Jesus didn't care one bit. You want to know why? Because I think Jesus saw these men acting like him. Because it was Jesus who was relentless and didn't quit and gave up his life for you and me, right? He was letting these men's faith continue to roll. And there comes this man in front of Jesus. He saw their faith. And Scripture tells us, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then he had a little tiff, you can read it later, with the religious people, and then he healed him physically. God will always touch your heart first before he touches you physically. He's more concerned about your eternal life than what's happening now, but he is very concerned about your life now. So he healed this man's eternal life, and then he said, "Now take up your mat and walk." And I love how the Living Bible translates this scripture right here. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "When Jesus saw how strongly they believed that he would help." He saw their faith. He saw their faith. And he offered salvation to this man. That's the last point as we close. God saves people. He saves people. God saves people. Think about the people in your lives right now. It's not a coincidence that they're there. God has placed them in your life on purpose. Who else would stand on their behalf and go to God and pray for them and intercede for them? Who else? Yeah, I believe the handicapped man's faith was honored because he got saved and he was healed. But the emphasis here was on their faith. Jesus saw their faith. And faith in this story represents, I'm not quitting. Faith in this story represents, I'm going to be relentless. Faith in this story represents risking some reputation, risking some financial gain. That's what it means. As we close this afternoon, I want to challenge us to keep praying for people. Bring them before God daily. And in a moment, we're going to stand up, we're going to worship God, and we're going to have an amazing time where we sign names on the stage. There's a lot of spots on the front. And I would encourage you just to put their first name. You can put one, you can put a dozen or two dozen. You may want to take a moment and pray for them right there. But these names are going to remain on here till Easter. And for the next several days, several weeks, we're going to be praying for people, believing that God will use us and other people to reach these people. Because God loves people, and God uses people, and God saves people. Amen. Will you bow your heads with me? Before we move on, I want to challenge you to ask the Holy Spirit, "What are you saying to me through this message? What are you saying to me?" Because we believe the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us. And we respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, maybe the response that you need to take today is to give your life to Jesus, to experience Jesus in a real way. That's salvation. I want to invite you to meet Jesus this morning. No one looking around, every head bowed. This is what I want to do. I want us all in this room to pray this prayer out loud. 100% participation. Say it out loud. Repeat it after me. Say, "Jesus Christ, I ask you to change my life. Thank you for allowing me to experience real salvation. Thank you for saving me. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray." Keep your head bowed, no one looking around. If you prayed that prayer and that was your response this afternoon, right now across the room, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. You prayed that prayer and you meant it. That was for you. I'm not going to make you get out of your seat, but I want to see you take one more step of faith. And I want to challenge you right now. If you sense God doing something in your heart, in your life, right now, raise your hand. Let me see it around the room. Yeah, just raise your hand. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Come on, raise your hand around the room. That was my prayer, Pastor Casey. That's it. I need to experience Jesus in a real way. I need to be saved. I need to know that my eternal position is secure. Come on, anyone else? Raise your hand. Yeah, thank you. Five more seconds before we move on. Anyone else? Thank you. Wow. Amazing. Could I ask you to stand to your feet real quietly? Now, over the next 10 minutes, as we close out this service, this is going to be an amazing time. I would just encourage you to stay locked and loaded right now. Pastor Chris is going to lead us into this song. And I want us to worship God and engage in what He's doing in our life. And when you feel like you want to, just take your time. You can come up to the front, kind of spread out across the front, sign the name of the person that you're believing for, or the people that you're believing for, that you're interceding for. Just wait. If you walk up here and someone, just wait. They'll turn around and give you a marker. There'll be some people up here assisting and helping. But let's intercede. Let's understand. And today, take action. Begin to exercise the power and authority that Jesus Christ died for us to have. Amen. Come on, Pastor Chris, lead us in. Let's worship Jesus.